is thy faithfulness you've shown to me. Each day new blessings flow through Calvary. Though others change, you are the same. You are my God, and faithful will remain. Lord, you've been faithful through all these years, through every joy, through every tear. You've kept your promises, you've seen us through. Now keep us faithful, Lord, to you. Now keep us faithful, Lord, to you. Friends may turn away, your love is true. Each time I stray, you draw me back to you. You've seen my heart, you know my name. You are my God, and faithful will remain. Lord, you've been faithful through all these years, through every joy, through every tear. You've kept your promises, you've seen us through. Now keep us faithful, Lord, to you. Now keep us faithful, Lord, to you. Lord, you've been faithful through all these years, through every joy, through every tear. You've kept your promises, you've seen us through. Now keep us faithful, Lord, to you. Now keep us faithful, Lord, to you.
Thank you, Natalie. That was great. Let's, we don't stand. Did you get the handout this morning? By the way, one thing to remember about the new building, it's going to have great air conditioning. There is one thing I would do if we were staying in this building. We would have a Christmas gift for Jesus would have been about getting another air conditioning unit. It's not bad in here. I'm not complaining. I'm explaining. But the new one, those are going to be very good. That was a blessing. I was just thinking, as summer's our very first, summer's just right around the corner. Our very first, I think it was our very first summer saturation. That's where I met Josh, right? He was washing his car. We were walking back to the bus, and his daughter, she wasn't even born then, was she? And now here she is singing. That makes me feel old. Yeah, I hear you. But only one of us looks old. That's what your wife said. I'm not sure about that. Okay, we've been talking. We're in the book of Proverbs. You're still talking about the virtuous man. Why are we talking so much about this subject? Because I'm just going through all the verses in Proverbs that deal with it. We're almost coming to the end. But this subject's a big deal. Our society is so warped. And everything in our society, I'm trying to have the right spirit and use the right word, but it's wrapped around immorality. And by, you say, why is the behavior in our country getting more deviant? Because we're so warped in what we've done, society has to have more. And it's getting very deviant, but as Christians, we want to be right. And really, that's my spirit. I'm not trying to be condemning in this, and I'm not trying to belabor it. We'll be done soon with this, but it's important. And if you have seen some of the heartbreak I've seen because people are not careful, you'd probably teach it for 20 weeks. And so we're talking about the virtuous man, and really we're talking about staying pure and staying right. Last week we looked at number 10, be alert to the warning signs of a strange woman. And a strange woman is? Excuse me? Oh, lady, that's not your wife. Right. Thank you, Ryan. I didn't ask for your help, but you gave it anyhow. Thanks. We said that the way she's dressed gets your attention. She sends subtle messages with her words and deeds. Her outward looks and subtle actions cause you to miss her obvious character flaws. She's more interested in hanging out than being at home. She is physically careless. She masks her real character with spiritual talk. She entices with her senses. And she is persuasive with her words. Now, that was last week. We're done with that. Let's move on. Number 11. And again, the whole premise here is staying pure, being careful, not getting caught up in immorality. Number 11, see the destination so you will avoid the journey. See the destination so you will avoid the journey. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 22. This still continuing our story about this young man and how he got snared. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of stocks. This simple man in the story, this simple young man, thought he was just going to have a night of alleged pleasure with this woman. God sees it a different way. God doesn't see it like that. He sees it as what is going to happen on the back end. Okay? By the way, with all sin, we mentioned this on Sunday night when we were talking in Philippians. With all sin, there is some pleasure. Doing your own thing, there is some pleasure. As we mentioned, following God's will, there is pleasure. The difference is in the duration. The pleasures of sin only last for a little tiny bit. And then comes the payoff, and then comes the consequences, and it's not good. And they're so bad, and as we'll get to it as we look at some other points, you'll never wish you got involved with the sin in the first place. Proverbs paints a different picture about this action, this night, what he was doing. Look at the two things he mentions there. I think you have little lines there. He mentions death as an ox to a slaughter. You know, these animals that go to the slaughterhouses, a lot of times they're just clueless. Oh, hey, we're following the line, you know, whatever, we're going this way. They don't know where that line ends. And when they get there, it's death. Does that mean you're going to die if you're immoral, you fall into sin? Not physically. But there is some death in your life. By the way, that death could be your marriage. There's nothing more damaging to a marriage than cheating. I guess just cheating, whatever you want to call it. Nothing more hurtful. And by God's grace, some people have gotten over it, and it takes time, and you can do, but maybe you won't get there. So you got to think about what's going to happen on the back end, not what's on the front end. Think about your family. You know, listen, what are you doing to your kids? Our society is so self-centered, especially in this immorality. They take no thoughts about their spouses, but they take no thoughts about their children. They are consequences too. I have a lot of reasons to be faithful to my wife. One is because I made a commitment to God. Two is because I love her. I don't want to hurt her. Three is I have children. And actually, I can give you a fourth. I have grandchildren. And it seems like we're getting a lot of them really quickly. Okay? We'll have one in, summertime. That'll be 6 and 5 years. It's like, keep it up. Let's go. But we think about ourselves. We don't understand the destruction it brings to those that we care about. You'd be killing your family. By the way, you kill your spiritual life.
Yes, sir.
So I can get over. See, Satan on the front end always tells you when you go into sin, you know what? What's the big deal? God forgive you. You can get over it. And then on the back end, he's like, what a scoundrel. How dare you try to serve God? It's tough. I'm not saying you can't get over it, but it's tough. And by the way, always, well, look at David and Bathsheba, and look how it turned out. His son Solomon was a king. Did you see the destruction? Did you see the destruction in his family? Did you see the bad example he set? Joab gave him nothing but problems. I wonder why. Could it be Joab saw him disobey God so openly? But there's destruction there. And then he says the tension. He says, and as a fool to the correction of the stocks, being locked in. We can think of that as a form of jail. We think that when we do our own thing, we're expressing our freedom as human beings to do what we want. But really, we're willingly putting ourselves into sin, which is bondage. It's bondage. How many people are stuck in immorality and they're in bondage to it. It's not good. Proverbs pictures that. You don't see the consequences, and so you continue on towards the action. I was reading something, and they're talking about these jailers that used to work at Alcatraz. Alcatraz, if you've ever been to San Francisco, Alcatraz is not that far from the shore. And they said that if there was something big going on, the men that ran the prison said, if there was something big going on in the city, the men could hear it. And he said the hardest night for the men that were in the jail was New Year's Eve, because they could hear all the parties and all that was going on the mile and a half away right by downtown San Francisco, and they realized they were stuck and they're never going to be there. Well, that's the consequences of the action. If they would have thought about that loss of freedom, maybe they would not have got involved in whatever it is they got involved in the first place. And that's what immorality does. Sometimes we look back at regret at what we did. Maybe it had been better if we had not done the deed in the first place. Everything always, look, you know, there's always excitement in something that's new. Wow, this is a new exciting relationship. And then you do something ridiculous, and you realize the relationship you had before wasn't as bad as it seemed. We always are looking. The grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Actually, it's still grass. Actually, it still needs to be watered. And actually, unless Brother Pineda's helping you, it still needs to be mowed. Okay? It's the grass isn't greener on the other side of the fence. You look, in relationships, there's issues, and they got to be worked through. I don't care who you get. Why don't we just stick with the one we have? Why don't we just be very careful? We look at the destruction of our family, and we'll long back for the days when things were better. Remember this. Just do right because it's the right thing to do. Just do right because it's the right thing to do. We need to understand that. Joseph understood, was a man who understood the consequences of immorality. Look at the verse there, what he told Potiphar's wife. By the way, very strong temptation. Perfect temptation to put the finger on Joseph. Family sold him out, foreign land. You know, here he is, a servant, young guy, very, very lonely. What would be the perfect temptation? Some beautiful woman throwing herself at him? But Joseph didn't see that way, did he? He said, there is none greater in the house than I, neither hath he kept back anything, speaking to Potiphar, from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? See, he didn't see it for, you know, well, after all, life's dealt me a cruel hand and I'm lonely and this opportunity, why not take it? Nothing else has turned out right. But he didn't do that. He said, this is wickedness. And if I do this, I'm sinning against my God, and I don't want to do that. By the way, aren't you glad he held out? Aren't you glad he did the right thing? I bet you after God exalted him and he was vice president of Egypt, sparing his family, and I bet you he thought, wow. He thought back to that time, how sometimes we sin and we look back and regret. Sometimes we look at that thing in our life that we didn't do, and we're like, thank God I didn't do that. Where would my life be had I done that? So there's two ways to look at it. Number 12. Don't get so close, and this is important, that your emotions override the consequences. Don't get so close that the emotions override the consequences. When we talked about the strange woman, we talked about the things that are used to kind of start to draw you in. By the way, we're talking about, you know, men primarily, but we're not talking about men. Ladies, this is you too. You can be sucked in. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 13 to 18. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their way. Whoso is simple, let him turn in thither. And as for him that wanteth, that means lacketh, understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guest are in the depths of hell. The picture here is this woman, this loose, immoral woman, and she's sitting out there, and she's actively going after someone. And here's this simple one that doesn't know any better. And he's brought in by some of the things we've talked about before, and he goes right in. Look what, and she, stolen waters are sweet. It's like this act, because it's so private, because it's so, in a sense, wrong, it's exciting. And he gets called in. What happened? Somehow there was people passing by, but one stopped and started to listen to what she had to say. One stopped and started checking out what was going on here. And as he got closer and closer, what happens is your emotions get involved. And once your emotions get involved, they override common sense. They override spiritual conviction. And you don't see what's going to happen. Everything's by emotions. And you make a horrible, horrible mistake. And you make a sin. That's why we tell you, be careful. Don't put yourself in those situations. I don't think men and women who are not married ought to drive in a car together alone. Okay? You know, I don't like these think business lunches. I've said it before, I'll say it again. My wife would never do that, and she's not in that type of business. If I ever saw her at a business lunch with a guy, there would be problems. Big problems. Oh, you know, we're just talking about business. Listen, ladies, we love you to pieces. I know guys. I don't trust a guy as far as you can throw him, okay? We're not cautious. It's just we have good intentions. But once your emotions take over, intentions are out the window. She starts telling you, I'm struggling with my husband. We're just having some problems. And then that, let me help you with that. You need a shoulder to cry. Go cry on someone else's shoulder. Remember, many years ago, I was at the church over there, at the other church, I think it was on Anaheim. And the lady was there, she was having a hard time, and I was in the hallway, and there was no one, she was talking. She was having some legitimate issues. She started crying, and I'm like, hold on. I went around the corner, I found one of our staff, I said, go hug her. She's crying, she needs your help. I don't want to be involved with it. You say, that's cruel. That's cruel, but I don't want to be involved with that. If you want to cry, you can cry. If you want to cry in my office, I'll have my wife near. You can cry on her shoulder. I'll drink coffee, and we'll all be good. I don't need to be involved in your emotions. At that time, I'm not belittling, because sometimes the situations come and there's tears. I understand that. But I'm saying sometimes there's an emotional something go on, and you need a lady to talk to. Okay? And my wife's great at that. I like talking to guys because they're not going to cry on my shoulder. It's like, whatever, I'll give them tissue, whatever. But our emotions, and we don't mean to, and a lot of times we have good intentions, but your emotions now have taken over. And if you're not careful, they cross that line. And we're totally not even thinking about the consequences. Be very careful. Okay, so I'll make you mad. Not mad, but you won't like me for a few minutes. That's why I don't think teenagers should date. Say, you guys say that sometimes. You should change. I'll tell you what, let me consider that. No. People in their 20s and 30s aren't even ready for relationships. People, you think a 16-year-old is? All that's going to happen is their hormones and emotions are going to take over. Nothing good's going to happen. There is no way, apart from a Red Sea miracle, that a teenage couple could start dating at 14, 15, and 16 and date until they're 23 and 24 or when they get married and stay pure. It's hard. If that's the one for you, that'll be the one for you when you're in college. But your emotions and you just got to be so careful. Okay, this will really get. That's why they shouldn't have cell phones. You know, look, when I was dating my wife, we couldn't text right away. We couldn't, you know, it was college and I was busy and they may have had a phone on the dorm room. I don't know. I didn't call. I was busy. going to college, working 40 hours, busy on the week. But, you know, I'd write her little notes here and there, and we would have dates here and there, but it wasn't like texting 24/7. I'm not, if you're college kids and you're close to getting married, God bless you. But high schoolers, you know, texting back and forth. Listen, you're not going to text 700 times and not start crossing a line. Okay? They don't need a phone. If you say, you know, Brother Meyer, spiritually, I don't believe you on that, fine. Do it to save money for the building. $30 a month you can give to the building. And just tell your children, listen, I'd get you a phone, but we're sacrificing for the building. And then once we get in, I'll find another excuse for you to save that money, okay? Bear with me. But just err on the side of caution. Because the best of people, when emotions get involved, they're not bad. I'm not saying people are bad. We're sinful. But when our emotions get involved, forget it. Now that we got on the kids, same goes true with you know, you're texting somebody. And by the way, when we talk about caution, you don't need to find your old friends. I wonder what my old boyfriend's doing. Hopefully he has a wife. You don't need to talk to him. Okay? Why? Everybody, have you ever seen somebody that you went to school with and you haven't seen them in years? And you know it's true if you've done this. And when you see them, you picture them the way they were when they were in college, right? Right? Listen, if my friends, man, I haven't seen Steve Myers for a long time, man. It's been since college. I can't wait to see him. Well, you know what the Steve Myers they're going to remember had hair. Had hair. And it was dark. And there was a lot of it, Brother Rawl. That Steve Myers doesn't exist anymore. Okay, but you know, you look back to the past and it's like you have all these memories of it. And then what will happen is the life you have now will start to look bland. You know, you have it pretty good. You have it pretty good. If you come home from work at night and your spouse is there and they still love you and you're not perfect and you have a good relationship and you're there and you're together, that's good. Quit looking for that teenage emotion. That died a long time ago. And if you picked up that girl, that would die a lot faster. Okay, let's our emotions and our imagination, it's just crazy. So let's be very, very careful. I don't think men and ladies should be best of friends. We have friends. Okay? I've talked to ladies at church, we're walking to church, all that stuff. I'm not gonna have a 20-minute conversation with you. Really? You went shopping at Kohl's? Did you save 30%? By the way, he's right. You know, my wife's second church is Kohl's. It's not a Baptist church. Pray for her. But, you know, we go. I'll go. If I need something, I'll go. But we're not going if we don't have 30%. But I'm not going to sit there and discuss that with you. Okay? You know, and that's a beautiful purse. Matches Robert's outfit. He's good. No, we need to be very careful. Again, are we innocent? Yes, but when we allow it to go too far, what happens? Emotions. And once the emotions kick in, we don't see the danger that's coming. So I'm just saying, I would rather err on the side of caution. Caution. Number 13. Don't go anywhere near a strange individual. Now, we talked about the strange woman a little bit, but we're going to talk a little bit here more. This one in the verses we're going to read seems to be a little more front, just attacking, going after it, I guess. Proverbs chapter 5. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Wow, that changed quick. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. You know, sometimes in the Bible, they have a hard time sharing how God really feels about a subject, doesn't he? It's like, why are you guys so pointed sometimes? I mean, I'm just reading the Bible here. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. We just talked about that. Careful. Just be careful. Okay? He's giving a description and an explanation of this strange woman and how she should be avoided. This, to me, as I read these verses, this is someone that has intentions. And sometimes people don't have overt intentions, but sometimes intentions are there. We need to be very careful. What does he say? Let me give you a couple things here. A, the promise is pleasant. Pleasant. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Okay? It's not. I don't think that's not just talking. That's talking more than just about how she talks. I think she's attractive. There's an attraction there. By the way, and you know this, we've mentioned 100 times, men are motivated by what? Sight. Okay? By the way, that doesn't mean you ladies should come in looking like someone beat you over the head with a baseball. I'm not saying that. Okay? Look nice. Be nice. Look first class, and as we already talked about, but you don't look sensual. All right? By the way, don't ask your lady friends, does this look sensual? They're clueless. Good people, ladies aren't motivated that way. Well, you know, my friend said this wasn't too tight. Yeah, but the 27 guys staring at you as you walk by, they said it is. That's how we're motivated, by sight. So we need to be very careful. There's an attraction there. By the way, guys, when you feel an attraction to somebody, if you can't sit there and talk to somebody without, like, oh, wow, there's an attraction, then get away. Just say, you know what, my toe hurts, I got to go. Lie. Rather lie than sin. Just kidding, lying is a sin. But come on, man. If you start feeling, and maybe that's God sometimes feeling like, hey, this is not a situation I should be in. Back out. Just like God, say they might think I'm rude. I'd rather have them think I'm rude than have myself get in trouble, right? I don't want to do that. The promise is there's an attraction there. By the way, they're alluring, like reeling you in, like fishing. Okay, I don't know what that's like because every time I go, we never catch anything. But I've heard that people that know what they're doing, you actually can catch fish. You get the right kind of bait, and we'll talk about that in a minute. They know just what to say and how to look. Now, let me say this on the flip side. A lady shouldn't be like this with a man, but she ought to be like this with her husband. Okay? You ought to be like that with your husband. Not in public, but, you know, listen, you want to win your husband. You want to look nice for him and all those things, not for some other guy. I want people looking at my wife. It's my wife. Okay? And so you just be very careful about that. But some, they're just very loose, and sometimes they don't understand it, okay? And they're not, and some ladies are just simple, maybe not Christian, they don't understand it. So you just be careful. But don't get caught up in the looks, in the words. Maybe it's flirtatious talk. By the way, never say anything that can be taken like that, never. That's inappropriate. You don't talk flirtatious to a woman that's not your wife or a man that's not your husband. Okay, you don't say anything that can even be taken that way. You don't. And by the way, you say, I did that on accident. That tells you something. You're too close. You're feeling too comfortable. You need to step away. Okay? Be very careful. You say, what do you want? We don't want to get caught up in that. Why? Well, let her be. The payoff is pain. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. See, once the excitement wears off, once the action is done, the regret sleeps in. The conviction for sin. The realization that you just did something that could wreck your life and wreck other people's lives. That always comes afterwards. And it is bitter. You know, you ever drink something and it looks good. I remember one time years ago, when I was a child growing up, you know, we used to have juice in the house, and I thought it was juice, and I took a drink, and I'm like, whoa, spit it out. It was some kind of oil from something my mom had cooked that she left in the fridge. It looked good, and it was cold, but man, as soon as it got in my mouth, that was not good, okay? My wife makes me this juice every morning. She's either trying to keep me alive or kill me. I'm not sure which one. And you can't really keep it for more than a day or two. And one morning I'm leaving the house, and here's your breakfast. That's what I drink. I have a breakfast. I drink vegetable and fruit juice. And here it is. She didn't realize it had been in there for 2 weeks. I did. As soon as I took a drink, I realized it had been in there for probably 3 weeks. Not good. You know, oh, this looks great. And then all of a sudden it's bitter. The payoff's not good. And you say you're belaboring that point. We got to get it. We got to get it. The Bible is brutally honest about results of sin. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Why? God wants to warn us. Okay? God wants to warn us. Be very careful. And then let her see the path is down. Say, what's that? Her feet go down to death and steps take hold on hell. That just doesn't sound good. Okay? You're a downward spiral. Things are going to start spiraling out of control. Make no mistake, in our society, immorality is a god. And it's a false god. The sad thing that's going on now with this transgenderism and homosexuality and all that, these people, that is their god, and they'll cling on it to the point where they would never trust Christ. I'm just telling you, they wouldn't. It's they hate us. Now, we tell the truth. We don't hate them, by the way. I don't hate them. Look, you see them, I see them every day, right? I don't hate them. If I see them somewhere they're serving, I don't say you're despicable. I'm going to try to be nice and kind. But I'm going to tell you what, they know you're a Christian. That's the sin that literally exalts their life. If we're not careful, it'll keep us from trusting Christ. And the worst case scenario, then go to hell. But for us, we're not going to hell. It's going to make our life a living hell. So we got to be very, very careful. It takes us down. Letter D, the pathway is unsure. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable. Thou canst not know them. I mean, all over the map. It's a moving target. Never delivers on its promise. Then the last thing is this, and we'll be done. The power, as I mentioned before, is in avoidance. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children. Depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way, what? Far from her. Come not nigh the door of her house. As I've mentioned before, we'll be done. Nobody falls into sin. Many years ago, I was walking downstairs in the fellowship hall. I was going to check something out. There was no school. I think it was summer. The lights were out, and I was walking, and then next thing you know, I was laying on the ground. Brother Pichardo, you guys have these in there, right? Tripped right over it. I didn't see it. It was dark. I'm like, oops, fell there. That's a problem there. Wish I would have avoided that. Stayed out of the way of it. We have to be careful that we avoid that sin, any sin. Remove thy way far from her. Come not nigh. Let's just be very, very careful. No one falls into sin. You know what it is? It's a slow, slow process. You're being lured in. Very rarely will you, if you're going fishing, very rarely, unless they're really on it, do you throw it in. As soon as you throw it in, they hop on it. You got to sit there and you got to kind of play cat and mouse, get them in the right area, and you catch them. No one's like, one day, I read my Bible, 12 chapters this morning, I prayed for an hour and a half, God spoke to me audibly, that's how close we were today. And then that afternoon, they go out and commit immorality. Doesn't happen that way. You know what happened? Slowly, steps were taken. People weren't being careful. They weren't avoiding. Emotions got in control. They blew through all the red lights that God was throwing in front of them, and over a course of time, they sinned. That's why God says, look for the warning signs early, and as soon as you see the warning signs, avoid it. That's the way to stay away from sin, any sin, but particularly this sin.